car was messed up. Amen. Well, let's all get in a Francis Idrogo. How are you? I'm good. We want to, you want to, you can do this.
I'm going to get the ushers to come forward as we prepare for the offering. Just want to remind everybody there is four ways to give through the Tithely app, which is a link that we have up here that if you've never given, if you click on to that QR code, it'll take you right to this Arise Church, not one of the many, many, many Arise churches that have arisen over the last few years since we named our church Arise Church. When we named Arise Church, this when our body named this church Arise Church, there was one Arise Church online, and it was in New Zealand. So we felt like it was far away enough, you know. But now if you go on and you put Arise Church, there's tons and tons and tons of them. I think the Spirit of God is saying, arise, arise. So anyway, this will help you if you want to give online through the Tithely app. We also are going to take up cash or checks. There are envelopes in front of you in the back of the seats for you to fill out if you'd like to give that way. We also have PayPal Me at Arise Church as well. I'm going to pray over the offering. I'm going to pray over Richard's arm, Becky's Aunt Wendy, her father's family. His Aunt Wendy has passed away suddenly with a heart attack. Desiree in the home is not well. Cindy is at home because Jasper's not well. So, Father, I just thank you. I thank you that you are the God that heals. I thank you that you are the God that has prepared an afterlife for us so that Wendy could step in from this earthly shell into the powerful being of the Spirit that she is to walk in to your presence. Lord, I pray peace over her family as this is a shock and a suddenly. I thank you that you give peace that passes all understanding and that you help us through grief and tragic times. Lord, we pray over Desiree. I lift up Jasper. Father, all that are ill, we release your kingdom come, your will be done over their bodies in the name of Jesus. I thank you that you gave us that power and authority to heal the sick. I want to raise the dead one day. I want to do what your scriptures say that we can do as followers of you. So awaken us to arise, to become who we're called to be. Sons and daughters walking in your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Intercessory prayer continues here every Sunday morning from 9:30 to 9:45. Pastor is continuing with Who Do You Think You Are? Aren't y'all proud of me? I didn't sing it. I said I wasn't going to sing it. Who do you think you are? Our true identity in Christ. And I truly believe if we would ever truly get a hold of who we really, 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 really are. Created beings out of the Father's heart. A spark of the Father's heart in earthen bodies to walk this planet in Him, through Him, for Him, by Him, spreading His love and His kingdom. That's who we are. If we could just do that in our little Mountain View in Stone County, what a difference we could make. Amen. Oh, I want to see it come. I want to see these dark hills of addiction bow to the name of Jesus. I want lives changed and homes full of His glory because his love has been shown abroad out of us and all the other churches that are shining his love for others. Amen.
Just leave all that. Amen. Don't forget, because I did when I was praying. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Amen. Oh, what a day. You guys okay? Man, I'll tell you what. I love summertime. And now we're on the downhill side of it. The days are going to get shorter from now on. The color has gotten as colory, as coloristic, how about that? As coloristic as it's going to get, and now it's going to go downhill. Amen? The autumn. You know what's good about autumn? Coffee tastes better in autumn. Man. Open your Bible up to, let's just start where I'm going to start at. How about that? Open your Bible up to Job chapter 38, verse 4. I bet you it's been a long time since somebody sent you to Job. I don't know if I've ever sent you to Job. Job 38:4. You know, I love the book of Job because it's a work of art. It really is. I mean, who could have conceived that God's going to make a bet with Satan? Anyway, in 38, you guys there yet? In 38, and we're not going to stay in Job, so don't get like Deuce and start closing your eyes. I got too many animals with Oos in their names. God is talking to Job because his friends have told him, they've been telling him for like chapter after chapter after chapter, Job, this is your fault because you sinned and you won't admit it. Right? And Job is saying, no, I did nothing wrong. I mean, Job is living a nightmare. All of his crops are his herds, his children, they're all dead at the same time. I mean, if there had been a little bit of mercy in what happened to Job, his wife would have gotten in there with his kids. That way, he wouldn't have had to listen to her tell him, curse God and die. Right? No. Now, no, I didn't think you'd amen a woman getting crushed like the kids, but the kids getting crushed ought to bother you. It really should. But anyway, God is talking to Job now because Job is asking God questions, and he's like, why is this happening to me? Right? I mean, because the whole crux of Job, the book of Job, is if you do right, then God does right by you. If you do wrong, then you get cursed, right? It's a Deuteronomistic theology. It's the theology that we get out of the book of Deuteronomy. But the book of Job is written to combat that. It's written to say no, because here Job is righteous and all this stuff still happened to him. He's living a nightmare, right? So God asked him this question. Where were you, Job, when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have the understanding. You know, it's just like, you just need to be quiet, Job. But you know, years later, Paul, sitting in a prison in Ephesus, he writes these words. He said, in Ephesians 1:4, it says, just as God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love, he destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us. See, if Job had been like one of my kids, he would have looked back. Keegan would have come up with this. I promise you he would have. When I would have asked Keegan, where were you when I laid the foundations of the world? He would have said, in Christ, covered by your grace. Just let that sink in for a minute. Because that's what Paul says. We don't have a first book of Tommy in here, right? We should. It'd be funny, God. But anyway. Oh, yeah, it'd be real hilarious, wouldn't it? We were in Christ, covered by his grace, in before God created the foundation of the earth. You know what the problem with us is? Not just us, but people. Is, and I used to say this, and I was so wrong for saying it, you know, people who think they know everything, you know, annoy those of us who do, right? But, you know, the problem with knowing everything is you don't know everything. And sometimes as a believer, how do they say it? God will let you believe what he needs you to believe so that he can get you to believe what he wants you to believe, right? Sometimes I think the issue with not understanding is because we think we know. The problem with knowing more is because we already think we know enough. Sometimes if we were to know less and admit that we know less, maybe we would find out more. Because if Job would have had Ephesians 1:4, we would have less chapters in Job. Tell me if you have the understanding, is what Papa said. You can't tell me Papa loved Job any less than he loves you, or any less than he loves Jesus. Because he loves us because we're in Jesus. See, when you think about who do you think you are, I mean, who do you think you are? Your identity begins in what you understand within you. It's not head knowledge. It's not emotions. It's not how you feel. It's not the knowledge that you have. It's all of those things working together in you. That's why we have this phrase, in my heart of hearts. Down deep in me, in my bowels. Sometimes the King James says, in my bowels, inside me, down deep in me. It's the same kind of words that the psalmist wrote, you wove me together in the secret place. So David said, I've hidden your word in my heart so that I don't sin, so that I have correct understanding of who you are and who I am in you. See, we could go down the road of identity and we can look up all the scriptures that we are in Christ and we can say we're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus because we are. We can say we're a new creation in Christ because we are. We can say all of those things. But to push this back, that before you were born, before God reached into the dust and Papa formed Adam with his own hand and breathed his own breath into his lungs, Adam and all of us were in Christ already before the foundations of the earth. I know, it's weird, isn't it? It's like thinking about the farthest star away from us that we can see its light. It's probably already died, and it's taken billions of years for that light to reach us. What God did, he's not dead, right? He is alive. Anyway, God's, now I'm singing the song in my head. God, in the beginning, wasn't creating an earth. He was producing sons and daughters. The glory of the knowledge of the Lord cover the earth. It's not some majestic glory that just covers the earth. It's the understanding within every human that's ever lived or ever will live that they were created in Christ before the world was created. Yeah, that just kind of hits you and you think, what do I even do with that? Where does that go from here? Well, don't ask me. Ask him. Because Jesus didn't tell his disciples that one day you'll have a preacher and he'll show you, he'll lead you into all truth. He says, I'm leaving and you can have so that you can have a comforter, a teacher that will lead you into all truth. See, some people think that the Bible is complete, that it tells us all we ever need to know about God, because that's what we have. I say the few words that are within those books, whether they're 66 or 80 some odd, however many have ever been written, every thought that's ever been written about Yahweh, Jesus, they don't contain who he is. The universe doesn't contain him. Paul said of his goodness, his loving kindness, that it takes ages for his loving kindness, for his grace to be displayed in his people to other people. Ages. It can't even, his goodness cannot even be explained within our lifetime. You guys all right out there? Good. How about you guys online? Anyway, whoever's watching this, whether it's today or it's 2 weeks from now, better watch it within 30 days because Facebook will delete it. But you can always find the audio on the website for free. It's not a commercial. Paul wrote Timothy. He said in 2 Timothy 1:9, it says, God who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and his own grace. And this grace was given to us in Christ Jesus before the ages began. And you thought you received grace because you said, please forgive me, because you cried hard enough and you were sorry enough for your sin, that you repented enough that God, okay, you've reached the point of where I can actually do something with you. But to walk through this life, there'll be a generation that walks on this earth, and from birth, they'll know they have been in Christ since before the world began turning. They have been in his grace since before the world began turning. This is why Jesus in Mark 2, go to Mark 2. You want to know where the story is. I'm going to read it to you, and then we're going to talk about it. And we may get to Joseph today, but maybe not. We're still doing who do we think we are? Who do you think you are? Because I'm trying to get you to think who you are. And yes, I'm throwing out what ifs. This is like when physicists sit around and they think about what if. This is like Einstein sitting and playing with math problems. You ever seen those things they write on the board and it takes up like the whole board? And you think, y'all are just making that stuff up, but they're not. Mark 2. Oh no, I'm going to start in verse 1. It's just 12 verses. When Jesus returned to Capernaum after some days, it was reported that he was at home, and so many gathered around that there was no longer room for them. Then some people came, bringing to Jesus a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. And when they could not bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, they removed the roof, and after having dug through it, They let down the mat on which the paralytic lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some of the scribes who were sitting there questioning in their hearts, "Why does this fellow speak in this way? Is it blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Exactly. But at once, Jesus perceived in his spirit what they were discussing, these questions among themselves, because he always knows what we're thinking. Man. He says, "Why do you ask these questions in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or say, stand up, take your mat, and go home, walk? So that you'll know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, stand up, take your mat, go to your home." And the man stood up and immediately took his mat and went out before all of them. The crowd parted like the Red Sea. That's not in there, but that would be in 1 Tommy. So that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." If they only knew what they were looking at. This story has bugged me forever. Because I was taught that you had to properly repent. It's not that you repented. You had to be properly sorrowful for your sin before God would forgive you. Because otherwise you're just playing games with him. And people do play games with God. It's a really dumb thing to do because he knows you're playing a game with him. If you're playing, "Come here, come here, come here," "No, go away, go away, go away," he already knows. Doesn't mean he leaves you or deserts you, because he doesn't. He's just waiting for the clouds of your confusion to get blown away and the light to break in so that he can show you who you are in him. But here this guy is. He's a paralytic. He didn't even go there at his own effort because he couldn't, right? I mean, he didn't have one of those little wheelchairs where, you know, the paraplegics, you know, they can blow in the, you ever seen them with the, like, the air tube and they control it with their mouth and their breath? You ever seen that? So one night I was coming home from Walmart when I worked for them, and I was locking up a bank bag at the bank, and it was like, I don't know, close to midnight. So I'm coming down, I guess, is it Trenton Street that goes south, or is it Vienna? Anyway, I'm headed south to the bank. And in front of me, there were like a dozen of these guys with their wheelchairs. They had just left Sundown West, the only tavern, only place you could buy beer at in Ruston, so I was told. I didn't know. I never went in there. But they had just left there, and all of these guys were zigzagging across the road. I mean, they looked like a Shriner with the little cars. That's what they looked like. And they were all very happy. Let's just say that. But they couldn't, this guy couldn't get there on his own, but good thing he had friends. I mean, do you have four people that would get you through a roof? It seems like that ought to be a TikTok. You know, be the four things that'll get you four people to bring you through a roof, right? I mean, are you the kind of person that somebody would break through a roof to get you to Jesus? Are you the kind of person that would break through a roof for somebody? That child would. Yeah, you would do that. So he's down there, and he lowers him. Jesus sees this guy, and he doesn't even address what we would think is his greatest need. And there was no altar call. There's no "just as I am" plan. He didn't even ask for forgiveness. He didn't even look up at Jesus with tears in his eyes. There's none of that in the story. Jesus sees him and he calls him son. He calls him child. We're in the same family, is the words he's using. We think he's separated, you know, because the cross covers up the chasm between us and where God is, right? Because God can't look on sin, right? till Jesus came. I mean, that's what we've been taught. That's we're wretched, filthy, dirty. I mean, that's the songs that we sing. It's the words that we describe it. This guy doesn't do that. He doesn't go anywhere near that, because Jesus knows. I mean, the only one in the room who knew was Jesus. Jesus knew. Jesus knew Paul was going to write those words. He knew Job should have said this back to Papa God. Because he knew. This guy, who's living a nightmare. And Jesus looks at him and says, your sins are forgiven. And before his sins are forgiven, he's already considered family. Because that paralytic was in Christ before the creation of the world. Now I want you to think about the person that likes you the least. I mean, we don't point them out if they're in the room, especially if they're your spouse. I'm just telling you, you just need to pray about that and let God deal with it. Think about the person that likes you the least, and then go to yourself. They were in Christ before the foundation of the earth. The Ayatollah of Iran was in Christ. Benjamin Netanyahu, Putin, the guy over China, I can never think of his name. In Christ before the foundation of the earth. Those four guys that beat me up when I was a freshman just because they didn't like the way I looked. They were in Christ before the foundation of the earth. So Joseph, right? Go to Genesis 39, 21. I got a few minutes, so I want to show you some stuff. While you're turning there to Genesis 39, they did a new thing with my Bible software. Not my Bible, so I guess it is mine, as much as I paid them. Shh, Karen, you didn't hear that. They incorporated artificial intelligence in it, but it just searches your resources or resources that they sell. Which is the real reason that they incorporated it, not because it helped us out, but because it would show us new books that we don't have, and then we have to have those books because we don't have them. Anyway, so I did a search. Who actually sold Joseph into slavery? Because the story of Joseph is a wonderful story in the Bible, but it shows, it's the easiest example that I've seen of how when they begin writing the Hebrew scriptures, they took the oral traditions that they had and they meshed them together to come up with the story that we have. Because in Genesis 37, we have the brothers, and like in 28 maybe. It's okay, his brothers have already seen him from a long distance off, and they took his coat off of him, and they plotted to kill him, and Judah said, no, let's don't kill him. Let's just sell him into slavery. So they looked up, and they saw some Midianite traders coming, and they drew Joseph up, lifting up out of the pit, and sold him to the Ishmaelites, right? So that sounds like the Midianites pulled him out and sold him to the Ishmaelites, even though we think that the brothers did it, okay? So in Genesis 37, 36... and I'll send you all these if you want them. It says, meanwhile, the Midianites had sold Joseph in Egypt to Potiphar. And then in Genesis 39, it says, now Joseph was taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of the Pharaoh, and brought him and bought him from the Ishmaelites. And we think, well, Ishmaelites and Midianites must be the same people, right? That's the general Sunday school consensus, but they're not. They're two different people. I'm just showing you that they, taking different traditions and putting them together, and you see these in here in the Bible, and you go, what? And they're meant to make you ask, what? They're meant to, they're not in here by accident. They're in here on purpose. Because they want you to dig. God wants you to dig. Joseph, when he finally identified himself to his brothers, he said, I'm your brother that you sold into Egypt. The patriarch, Stephen, said, Stephen, who before he was stoned, said that the patriarchs were jealous and sold him into Egypt. So there's lots of traditions in there. Just a Bible nerd minute. Don't get all messed up, but just, you know, I want you to understand there are places in the Bible that you know, it's like walking in Jericho or out of Jericho, and he healed one blind man in one story and two blind men in the other story. So anyway, so here we go. We're in Genesis 39. But the Lord was with Joseph, starting in verse 21. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him steadfast love. He gave him favor in the sight of the chief jailer. The chief jailer committed to Joseph to the care all the prisoners who were in prison. And whatever was done there, he was the one who did it. The chief jailer paid no heed to anything because the Lord was with Joseph. And whatever Joseph did, the Lord made it successful. See, I'm bringing up Joseph. Because just like the paralytic, Joseph is living his nightmare. We read this story and we see Joseph as this upstanding, upright young man of God. After all, when Potiphar's wife tried to get him to sleep with her, he said no, right? And then she lied about him and he had to end up in prison. That's where he was. You know, we read these stories, and because they're a few chapters long, we think that it was just a few days or maybe a month of his life. I'm telling you this because even though you were in Christ before creation, there's a nightmare that you could still be living in. And how we live that nightmare is what sets us up for what God wants to do in us. What we don't read in here is that Joseph is not writing any psalms about dashing his brother's kids across the rock. He's not saying, woe is me, why is this happening to me, God? Where are you? I'm the son of Jacob. I mean, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. See, we don't get a whole lot of this out of the story. We get the basic bits from the story. But we need to see people when we read about them in the Old Testament, when we read about them in the Hebrew Scriptures, we need to see them through the same eyes that we look at ourselves, that Paul said we were in Christ and Christ is in us. Because if it's true for one of us, it's true for all of us. And because Joseph maintained what he needed to maintain, even though he was done unjustly from the beginning, and a lot of people fought him because he told his dreams to his brothers. Listen, if somebody tells you their dream and it offends you, you should ask God to forgive you and celebrate their dream. Because just because they got a dream don't mean you don't have one. In fact, all of those brothers who wanted to kill him and threw him in the pit and caused him to be sold into slavery, because Joseph kept the right attitude, because Joseph kept asking, involving God in who he was. See, Where he was didn't determine who he was. What had happened to him didn't determine who he is. Because in Christ he was created. Listen, sometimes I think believers, I think when we're in our nightmare, we spend so much time rebuking and binding and loosing our nightmare, we don't realize that all the time, the whole time, and all the things that are going wrong in your life, and all the dark valleys and all the high mountains you've got to climb, God is right there in the midst of you, and he is setting you up. When it's dark, just know you're in a setup. God is taking the things that the enemy wants to kill you with and change them entirely around, not because he wants to repay all the people that done you wrong. All the people that did Joseph wrong, Joseph is being set up to save them. He not only saved them, he saved the nation that would enslave them in coming centuries. We think in seconds. God sees the entireness, the entirety of time. There's no last day. You're not in the last days. You know, a friend of mine told me one time, he said, we were talking about necromancers, people that talk to the dead, mediums. He said, Tommy, is anybody really dead? Because in Christ, we were all raised with him. He emptied Sheol, Hades. He emptied the harrowing of hell, the emptying of hell. They have a whole Sunday dedicated to it. Sometimes I think high church would be good church. Sometimes I don't. Let me wrap this up. In your nightmare, are you spending time wondering why you're there more than what you can do to grow out of that moment? God's trying to bring growth inside of all of us. Listen to what the psalmist wrote. In Psalms 103, verse 8, it says, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. He will not always accuse, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins or repay us according to our iniquities." Nobody preached that to me growing up. "But as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he removes our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion for his children, so the Lord has compassion for those who fear him. He knows how we were made." When were we made? "And he remembers that we are dust." God reached into the dust and formed Adam with his own hand and breathed in his lungs his very own breath. He formed Adam and you and I and all the people of this earth, from the first person to the last person, in Christ. And he covered us with his grace. That's a hefty thought. I mean, I used to read the scripture and I would go, yeah, that's good. But they still need to believe in their heart and confess with their mouth, God. You know, you can't get saved any other way than I got saved. You got to get saved the same way I got saved. That's how we treat other people. Jesus just looks at people lost in their sin, crippled. I mean, how much sin can a paralytic do? I mean, how offensive is a paralytic? And he looks at him and says, your sins are forgiven. I would have loved to know what was going through his head in that moment. Because I know in my head, if I'd have been laying there unable to move, I would have said, how about some muscles, yo? How about getting me up off this mat, bro? Yeah. That he was suffering because of his sin. And yet, the psalmist writes, that God doesn't deal with us according to our sin. Man. God is better than we think he is. And he's a whole lot less meaner than we've been told he is. Let's all stand. You guys okay today? It's just 11:39, so. That's right, it's early. Father, we just thank you. We come before you right now, Lord. We read some things in your word that blows our mind. And if we really could hear your thoughts, Father, lead us and guide us. Bring us all to a place where we're hungry for more. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a wonderful Sunday afternoon. Be blessed.